This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Scott Satterfield will join us here momentarily, head football coach of your Louisville Cardinals. I saw, Wes, the video yesterday that Louisville unveiled. We're going a little blackout game this weekend against Virginia Tech. And Justin Fuente earlier this week said, you know, we just haven't played these guys. So it's really kind of an interesting matchup because we've not seen Louisville and Virginia Tech play each other since the Cardinals have joined the league.
On behalf of everyone broadcasting the game on radio or television, I'd like to applaud the University of Louisville, though. The black jerseys are fine. I'm just grateful for the white numbers.
Helps,
on
right?
The black jersey. Mm-hmm. you have no idea. You hold your breath a little bit because sometimes you get the red numbers on the black jerseys trimmed in the gray or the silver.
That is when a professional spotter is worth every cent that's paid to him or her, right? That is when, eyes in the sky, binoculars and all, better be spot on. But I thought the video was really cool with what Louisville did.
Mm-hmm.
Blackout game.
Yeah, very cool. And the Hokies also have some combinations too, so we may have a good uniform game on Saturday at Cardinal Stadium.
I will say this. That combo could be either really, really sharp or a total eyesore. You got to be careful with those. I mean, that's not an automatic layup, really, with either school. But I thought the video was very, very well done by Louisville.
Yeah. Scott Satterfield joins us from Derby City this morning on Packer and Durham. Coach, good morning, and congratulations on the win against Florida State last week. I'm going to believe that coaches can coach a little harder after good wins like that, huh?
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, no question about it. It was a great win for us and our guys, and a much-needed win. You know, guys have been putting a lot of work in this year. We have not seen a lot of the fruit of all the hard work, but we put it in this past weekend, and it was a great win, and hopefully that'll, you know, transition us into a lot of great things over the second half of this season.
Coach, I know a lot of folks are talking about what you did with Florida State. I'm going to take you back a week prior to that. I thought your effort against Notre Dame is what really grabbed my attention, because it would have been really easy, given what was going on, to say, oh, my goodness, we're going to Notre Dame. We're going to get waxed. Let's get this thing moving and people zoning out. Hey, that was a football game. I mean, Notre Dame, to their credit, goes the last 7:55 to play keep away from you. But, hey, you went on the road playing a really good, tough team. You didn't turn the ball over. Your defense tackled, which I know has been kind of an issue, holding people off the scoreboard. But, you know, the Florida State thing, to me, started before you kicked it off against Florida State. I just thought your effort against Notre Dame kind of set the tone for hopefully the rest of the year.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great game. I think it really started probably the week before that. You know, I thought we came out on that Sunday and just had a great week. I mean, and like you mentioned, I mean, it could have been real easy just to kind of throw the towel in, say, hey, we're going to play a top five team, Notre Dame, and on the road. And we've been on the road the whole month, I feel like, that stretch. And the guys had a great week and then, you know, really came out there and played well on that game day. Notre Dame obviously is a really good football team, good defense. They play keep away very, very well. And, you know, but I think it did. It started that week, and then we continued on last week. We came back with a great week, and I thought we played obviously our most complete game against Florida State all the way around, offense, defense, scored points. We held them out of the end zone. You know, really, really good week for us. And this week's been the same way. I think we've really carried it on, and I think we have that momentum rolling right now, and we're looking forward to getting back out on the game Saturday to play the game.
Sad, it's hard to look at this game on paper as Roddy and Eric and I get ready for it. It's been interesting to have our discussions to get beyond the two running backs of Herbert of Virginia Tech and certainly Javian Hawkins for you guys. But there's also this kind of continuity, this battery, if you will, of the two quarterbacks that go with the running backs. Do you see a little bit of what you do and what they do, I guess? And do you think Fuente's thinking the same thing when he watches tape this week in terms of that quarterback running back combination?
A lot of similarities. You know, it's fun to watch their offense of, you know, the quarterback certainly can run the football, but he also can throw. I mean, their play action game is awesome to see. And the running back's been outstanding. I think number one in the country in all purpose, not only running the football, but in the kick return aspect as well, of outstanding player. Very similar teams. I think, what they're doing offensively is just like what we're doing. They run the stretch play. They run the play action off of that. They're not scared to run their quarterback and then play very good, solid defense and kicking game. So, yeah, it's very similar as you watch that. I've never played Virginia Tech. I visited there when I was back at App State. Used to go up there and visit Coach Fuente and his staff. They do an outstanding job. And, looking forward to playing these guys. It's first time playing the Hokies.
That's where I was going to go with you next, Coach. How difficult is that? I mean, I know everybody changes tape. Everybody sees everybody on television, all that kind of stuff. But it's one thing to play somebody on a semi-consistent basis where you really do have a feel for size, speed, what they do and all this stuff. It's one thing to watch tape. It's another thing to see them up close. So how different is that, given the fact that Louisville and Virginia Tech have never played against each other as ACC members?
Yeah, it's a little bit different. I mean, it's kind of like for me last year coming into the league, playing all these teams really, for the first time. You really hadn't seen anybody. You don't have any perspective of size, speed, or what they do well or not, except for what you see on film. And, so this is obviously our first time playing these guys, and I guess maybe in a long time. Maybe I don't even know if we ever played, but. We're looking forward to it. I know they do an outstanding job coaching and historically always been a great football team. And, it should be a great matchup.
I'll tell you this. The last time they played, Eric Wood was playing for Louisville in the game. Does that mean it's been a while? I think so.
It's probably
right?
been a while then. Yeah, it's probably been a while. And we got Wood back on the sideline this week. So, so it's great.
There
great
you go.
That he's has the opportunity to be here.
All right. I want to focus a little bit on the other side of the ball because, we've talked about it in the offseason. We've talked about it once the season got going. I know the turnover thing has bothered you and it's sidetracked a lot of the momentum you've had in games, maybe even. Sequences of those games themselves. But it looks like now, particularly against the pass, your group is starting to kind of sort things out. Where has that development impressed you the most?
Well, yeah, they've done a much better job the last couple of games. I think really the big spot for me is just the tightening up the coverage. I felt like early in the season there are a lot of guys, were basically wide open and quarterbacks at this level are going to be able to throw and catch. And the last couple of weeks we've tightened the coverage up. We've put pressure on the quarterbacks. I think that's been a big key as well. And, of course, that goes hand in hand. The one thing we haven't done great is create those turnovers. I think even this past weekend we probably should have had at least three more picks. In that game, we came away with one turnover, with one interception there by Jack. And, we got to do a better job with that. But the last 2 weeks, the guys have held guys out of the end zone. I think that's always key. Our red zone defense has been one of the best in the country. Continue to elevate our play. And the guys are getting more and more comfortable of what we're trying to do defensively. But hopefully we'll continue this trend and keeping guys out of the end zone. We always feel like if we hold guys to field goal attempts, then we got a great chance to win.
Coach, I was just bragging about the Louisville social media department with the video for the blackout coming up this week. As you now have now got past the halfway point, it's just been a chore just to have a game each and every week. Does stuff like this, is this like an extra boost for your guys? Because I know players love going to blackout and all that stuff. Coaches are like, hey, we got to go block, tackle, catch the ball, do the fundamentals. But players, you give them a little extra juice, a little extra incentive. I suspect that when that was circled that, hey, we're going blackout against the Hokies, that locker room got fired up a little bit because guys love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they do. Of course, this is Halloween week also, and we put a little video out. Apparently, I've never been to that place, but it's only about 25 minutes from here, one of the top scariest places in the world, apparently. I guess Google, you can find anything out. And so went over there and shot that video. And I will not be going to that place. I don't like that kind of stuff. But it's going to be Halloween. We're blacking out. I mean, it's going to be an awesome atmosphere. So I guess as good as it can be for this year.
You mentioned visiting with Virginia Tech when you were at App. How many of these wires have you crossed a little bit now in year two in the ACC of guys you went and talked football with? And I know those those kind of meetings are oftentimes you think about them at the time, you get something from them, you come back and put it in your own program, and you forget kind of about maybe some of the logic behind what they're doing, and now all of a sudden you're playing some of these folks. Has this happened more often than we think, maybe?
Well, you know, in this game of football, in most probably every sport, you're going to find out different things from everybody. You know, we all didn't create the sport. I mean, this sport's been around a long time. Yeah. And so you're always trying to find one thing or another. And usually when you go visit these schools, there may be one thing. And it could be practice schedule. It could be something with the special teams or offense or defense. But, you know, we were at App State there, and we had a lot of teams that were around us, including Virginia Tech. You know, we mentioned we used to go to Clemson and NC State and Duke and – you know, so yeah, I think this may be the last team that we can kind of cross off that we actually visited when I was at App State. But you know, I think what it says is we got a lot of respect for these guys and how they go about their business and how they do their job. And you want to go visit teams that are like that. And Coach Quinte and his staff, they do an outstanding job. And so, of course, it's one of the teams that we wanted to go see.
Coach, I want to ask you about Javian Hawkins, because last year he comes on the scene, a lot of chunk yards. You're like, wow, look at this dude, man. This guy's going to be out of sight. How have you seen his game develop as far as being a more complete runner and his entire overall game?
Yeah, he's so fun to watch. I think maybe, you know, this year we've gotten a little bit more involved in the pass game as well. But he's a complete back. You know, he's not a huge back. I mean, 185, 90 pounds, but he certainly can run the football. He's got great vision. He breaks tackles, you know, and particularly, like, you know, against Florida State, you shouldn't be able to have a cutback run like that for 70 yards. I mean, you know, they certainly have speed on the field. He had a run like that similar against Miami, who's a lot of great players on defense as well. But he's fun to watch. You know, he's a complete back, can do it all three things that you ask running backs to do. And, you know, our guys love him. You know, they want him on the field. And I tell you what else, he's very dependable and determined runner when he's on the field. And, you know, I think he's one of the best backs out there in the country. He proved it last year with over 1,500 yards rushing. He's on track this year either to have another great season, to be over 1,000 yards again. Back-to-back 1,000-yard rusher would be outstanding. You know, but he's fun to watch and he's fun to coach.
All right, but is there ever a moment where you kind of hold your breath when he runs it to one side of the field and you see like eight shirts of the other guy, and then he starts that cutback move, and you're thinking, no, he's not getting out of this one. Do you just kind of hold your breath every once in a while?
You do, and you don't like to see that, particularly, you know, in high school you get away with that. You don't get away with it in college. Of course, like I mentioned, Miami and Florida State, you certainly wouldn't get away with it, those guys. But he's earned the right now to be able to do that more, and, you know, we won't say anything to him if he loses a couple yards. There's too many good things can happen when the ball's in his hands. So, you know, basically we get the ball in his hands and let him go to work. A guy like that, you know, I'm not going to – he's a little bit more like Barry Sanders. You know, back in the day at Detroit Lions, you know, and sometimes it wasn't there. He'd bounce it around and come out the back door. And I've seen him do it a lot of times now. So we kind of just let Hawk go to work. And, you know, we don't say a whole lot to him.
I know that you have spent zero time with the question I'm about ready to ask you. But we've talked about the neighborhood that you live in. You mentioned, hey, it's a blackout this weekend, Halloween. What's the go-to on the street in your neighborhood for Halloween?
Oh, man, I don't know. It's only my second Halloween. So last year, I think it was about 20 degrees. It was freezing on Halloween. I didn't see anybody out. You know, so this year, I think the weather's supposed to be about 60, so it's supposed to be a lot nicer. So maybe we'll see some this year. We play at 4 o'clock, so we'll be back home hopefully by 8:30. Maybe we'll see some people out on the street. But I'm interested to see Vince Tyree, Eric Wood, Chris, Chris Mack. We got a lot of celebrities in the neighborhood to see what they're looking like.
Celebrities.
I will say this though. I would much rather have Halloween at 20 degrees, Coach, especially in your neighborhood, because when the adults go knocking on the door when it's 20 degrees in October, that brown water tastes awfully good that time of the year, man. I'm just saying. Just for the adults only. Adults only.
That is true. Adults only. And Vince Tyree's got a pretty good stash at his house. So you definitely want to check out.
Yeah, I like it. Like it a bunch.
Let me say this here, that when we get back to some degree of normal and we take Packer and Durham to a cul-de-sac in the ACC to do a show, I feel really confident, Pac, that this is the first place on our list is going to be the cul-de-sac where all these guys hang out, don't
yep,
you?
No doubt. I mean, if they're not going to allow us at the Derby yet, then this is absolutely plan B. We're going over to Satterfield's cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
It's a great time there. No question about it. I would definitely pick that to be the first stop.
There it is. I like it. Well, listen, I'm glad you guys got this thing back on track, man. Good seeing you guys playing well.
Yep. I appreciate that. Hopefully we'll keep it going.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Always good having Scott Satterfield on the show.
Getting ready for Sir Purr tonight.
Yeah, Dancing Bear. We got a Dancing Bear mascot in the end zone. You can't miss him tonight. Be all over it. I hope the weather's all right. Who knows? Man. Who knows?
Yeah. How about let's go to Atlanta, shall we? Excited to have Eric Reveneau with us, the associate head basketball coach at Georgia Tech, with Josh Pastner. Jackets getting ready to start the season like everybody else here in the ACC in late November. But Coach Reveneau, back on June the 3rd, offered up this tweet right here. We're going to show this on the screen here real quick, Coach. This was the tweet on June the 3rd that kind of started the momentum of what will happen next Tuesday. Here it is, off Eric Reveneau. I mean, just tell me about this tweet. What compelled you to kind of put that out there and say, hey, this is what needs to happen in college athletics?
That on June 3rd, the catalyst for that was a Zoom conversation with our players on June 1st, where we were talking about all the social unrest and all the stuff going on in Atlanta here. And one of our players, Malachi Rice, looked into the camera and said, guys, we can all protest, we can do things, but are we voting? Do we vote? On June 2nd, I woke up and I looked up the voter registration, voter participation of 18 to 24 year olds from the time I was born in 1966 to now, and it's been a steady decline. And I asked myself, you know, what have I done as a coming up on 25 year coach, educator at great institutions, Stanford, University of Portland, as a head coach, and then here at Georgia Tech, what have I done personally? And it hit me hard, like a ton of bricks on June 2nd. And I just said, I haven't done anything. I haven't done much. I was so worried about winning, young head coach, trying to do things, worried about this. Not that I didn't care about my players. I did all kinds of things for my players. But this one basic civic engagement responsibility I had neglected. And I had this strong, overwhelming sense that guys my age in similar situations have been doing the same things. And I looked around. I said, we can do better. And I just start. I'm just got the bug, and I'm, you know. So, but thank you for having me on to talk about it. Election Day Tuesday, get out and vote. But it's good to talk about it. I'm still fired up.
And you know, Coach.
Well, the tweet says.
Go ahead, Wes.
The tweet says, Federal Election Day, November 3rd, needs to be an NCAA mandatory off day. We must empower, educate, and guide our athletes to be part of the change. We need action. There is symbolism in every holiday, and it's powerful. Mark, go ahead.
Coach, what I was going to say, and Wes and I have talked about this a lot in the summertime, when all this crazy movement across the country, you just saw people so engaged, right? When we talked about the fact it's so cool to see young people take ownership, and you absolutely saw that with student-athletes, whether we're talking about the ACC, the SEC, or all the way out to the Pac-12 and everywhere in between. But to hear you talk about how it energized you as well is kind of reflective of really what we're talking about. And that is to get engaged, right? Regardless of what your view is, that's all fine and good. But get engaged and feel some type of ownership. And that's kind of what you're talking about here.
100%. And for me, I'm inspired again as a coach. I mean, as a coach, I got into it because I love being around college athletes. I love being around college students, and they inspire me daily. I want to help them. The reason I coach is I want to help them be the best they can be, and I want to build championship teams. And I think there's a lot of coaches like me with similar sort of whys of what we do. And I'll tell you what, I am competitive as anyone. There's not a coach out there that is trying to win games. I was a head coach trying to win games, had some success. I didn't win enough games, I got fired. I know how it is. And when you're in that spot, And as a coach, you're so focused, you're so locked in, but the inspiration and the drive comes from helping these young people. I'm having these Zoom calls with our current Georgia Tech players, and I'm also talking to a 40-year-old Stanford graduate I coached with his family, and talking to him about his life and how he's got to talk to his kids about police stops and whatnot. And I ask myself, that's where the value comes in what we do. And so we need to set up a structure that puts these opportunities in place for us to be the educators that we really all want to be. We need the protection from ourselves. And I just think that this is the best way to do it, because November 3rd is not a finish line. November 3rd is not a finish line. It is a mile marker. We got to stay the course. And the goal for me and the goal for us in the NCAA and college athletics should be to empower our student athletes. And we're not trying to change the participation this election. We're trying to change that curve I talked about. So 10 years from now, that people are building the foundation of our democracy by engaging. That's what I believe in. It's as nonpartisan as they get. And it's about building the foundation of the United States and being a great teammate. To me, it's also about that. We preach all the time, be a great teammate, and so this is what it's about. So for me as a coach, and I got to say this, Georgia Tech was a wonderful place to work this summer. On June 2nd, I sent a text, and Marvin Lewis, Shoshana Engel, you guys may know these folks in our administration here. Mm-hmm. Hey, I got this idea. What do you think? They said, run with it. Todd Stansbury's run with it. On June 3rd, Coach Collins, I tweeted a few times. I didn't have to sell much. Coach Collins, and football is an issue. We can talk about that. On Tuesdays of prep week, I get it. I was thinking there might be a waiver, but Coach Collins on June 3rd, with no plan, no nothing, said, let's do it. This is the right thing to do. Georgia Tech inspired me and really, really brought out the megaphone to the little thing I was kind of tweeting out in my little corner. Georgia Tech stepped up, and then schools started stepping up. And like you said, the momentum just took off, and I just kept tweeting and kept trying to manage and keep the conversation moving. And then Division I SAC, the students proposed it as a rule, and it became a rule in September.
Very cool.
Eric, when this all starts to happen, and a lot of things are going on in the country at the time, right? Obviously the pandemic, the social justice situations, a lot of it in a top 10 major media metropolitan market like Atlanta. You're a college basketball coach. The trials and tribulations of winning and losing, we touched on that a moment ago. But I get the feeling that when the season starts, after November 3rd, the season begins, the messaging for college basketball is going to be as strong as maybe it's been in college football in terms of the way these young people have been engaged throughout this, quote, offseason and pandemic, because it seems like this is a massive time for the 18 to 25, 18 to 30-year-old to have a voice in what this country's doing. And you see it every day, I'm guessing.
100%. I mean, for me, I'm very quick to point the finger at myself. I'm not trying to point. I'm pointing at myself. I haven't done these things my career, and as well as I could have. In my time, I've never talked about. I don't remember in my 24 years of coaching. I don't remember a team meeting, a staff meeting, or an athletic department meeting where we talked about voting, and that's wrong. And this summer, I think that changed, and I want to make sure that change is sustained. The athletes of today, they're in a different place. And that was part of it for me, was I feel they're feeling a heaviness and a angst about where we are as a country that breaks my heart, to be honest. As a 54-year-old guy with a good education and some opportunity and privilege, that things aren't set up better for them, that we need to do that. But at the same time, we need to carry this forward and keep moving. And I think this season will do that. And I'm also trying to be honest. Like, if there wasn't the pandemic and I wasn't stopped, if I was flying off to my next recruiting stop, if I was trying to sign those guys, if I was doing individual works locked in, would I have taken the pause necessary to have this inspiration, frankly. Or, you know, I've got teenage kids, I'm doing my thing. Would I have done that? And that's just what made it all more powerful for me. But the student athletes right now, they don't want words. You know, I think Unity Week, ACC Unity Week is great, and we got to be doing these things. But they want to see some demonstrated action. They have heard this before. As a middle-aged guy, I can still tell when I start talking about certain things and all they're hearing is blah, 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 blah. What are you doing that shows that you want to make a change, that you want to do something, that you want to help us?
I would be remiss, though, if I did not ask you during this interview, what about the basketball team? What are the expectations of a team that closed last year? You went, hey, you know what? These guys have turned the corner. They're playing good basketball. What are we going to see the 20-21 version of the Jackets? What's it going to look like?
Well, before I answer the question, I got to say, I also realized I still like hoops more than voting. And like hoops is still like, I love the voting. Hoops is still like I was kind of, I've had these interviews where someone hasn't talked to me about the hoops part. Like I still like getting out there and doing the hoop stuff. That's the fun part, you know? But I got my perspective changed this summer, but the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets are exciting. We have veteran guard play, as you guys know. Mike DeVoe, Jose Alvarado, Bubba Parnum, Kyle Sturtevant, transfer from USC, Jordan Usher back at the wing, Moses Wright, there he is. His timing's on this with the video highlights. Jordan Usher, just dynamic, athletic. There's James Banks passing. We're going to miss James Banks. Was a shot blocker. Defensively, we're really going to miss him. You know, he didn't have the Ben Lammers sort of offensive facilitator that we had before James, but James really could block shots and make plays. And so we're going to need to have our freshman, Saba Gigabiera, step up and play well. 7-foot kid from the country of Georgia, not the state of Georgia. The country of Georgia, skilled Euro big, needs to get comfortable with contact. Rodney Howard from Georgia transfer. He likes contact. And Jordan Mecca, dynamic pick and roll big. So we really like our young bigs. But the big question mark for us, I guess, if you want the bottom line, is our bigs coming along to catch up with our guard play.
Coach, one more thing. Next time I'm in Atlanta, I need to find out who cuts your hair, man, because you and I have got exactly the same deal going on here, and I really like the way you got it cut there. That looks good.
No, come on. That's really good, because I won't kid you not. So I had a COVID beard going, right? You know, and I haven't seen my mom in Arizona like everybody, and I went out and saw her March 1st for my dad's birthday, still doing well. And my mom's been kind of on me about it, right? I'm 54. My mom's, I mentioned the age, it's out there. My mom's kind of like, shave the beard, son. You look, you know, you're raggedy, you know? I cleaned up for you guys, but I cleaned up in case my mom saw it. My wife cut my hair last night.
Wow.
So we've changed that. So you come through Atlanta, maybe I'll get her to do it. But it's not without some bickering back and forth. I don't talk to, she's a little rougher. She like grabs my head, pulls it one way. She's scraping, you know. So, but I'll tell her you said that.
Wait a minute, because she's going to probably watch this. So let's give her a formal introduction, because if I need a little trim and I'm in the ATL, I'm coming over to the house.
You're right. Exactly right. We'll cook you up something. Amanda Revino, my wife, she puts up with me. That's great. She's from New York. Met her out in California in school, and she's the best. And I got the haircut in. The bad weather was coming in. We're on the back porch, and a little bonding time out there for us. So I appreciate you noticing I got cleaned up for you.
Nice. Good job, my man. We look forward to having you back.
I need a makeup guy
Coach
here.
Rapp,
I thought Moose would
man.
Have a makeup
nah.
guy for me to take the glare off.
No. Listen, Listen, you know what? Here's the deal, Coach. You know what? And every time we go on the road, and you can ask Wes, I cringe at the makeup folks. I'm like, I don't need no stinking makeup. I am who I am, It's a face for radio. Deal with it. So you know what? You don't
exactly.
need the.
That, I'm with you. You yeah. and I. You and I got to hang out more. That's exactly it. How I'm thinking.
Now Durham's over there, a TV guy. He's got all kinds of pampering going on. I'm like, hey, give it to Durham. I don't want any of that nonsense. Plus, afterwards, it takes forever to get that junk off. So I'm just coming. Let me wear a baseball hat. And we'll call it even. How about that deal? Right.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thanks
love
for
it.
Having me, guys.
You
nice
got
talking
it,
Coach.
To you.
Congrats.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
T-Network, Packer and Durham on a Thursday. Enjoyed the Eric Reveneau conversation. What was it? Cool idea.
Yep.
Student-athletes buying, the school supporting, and, man, it just absolutely caught on like wildfire around the country. And it all started from a neat idea on a Zoom call. And, again, it's been fascinating to watch the student-athletes take total ownership and look for change. It's been fantastic. Unity Week, we talked about that with Commissioner Swofford yesterday. It's been a big deal for the ACC. Wes, yesterday, Matt Leinart joins me every week on Off Campus, and we were discussing the Dodgers, of course, because he loves them. It's painful. But nevertheless, we eventually got around, and I asked him about Trevor Lawrence. And I figured, hey, Matt Leinart's lived this life before. You saw what Trevor Lawrence had to say earlier this week. What bit of advice would you give Trevor Lawrence? And here's what he said.
Well, I kind of lived through that decision, you know, and everyone expected me to come out my junior year. And, you know, the only difference is he's a surefire, probably number one pick in the draft. I wasn't, despite the speculation. I didn't feel confident enough in that. And that's part of the reason why I came back. But, you know, I think in that process, really, the thing that I would do different, and not with my decision, I love the fact that I went back, and I don't regret that, but just in that whole process, you're going to get a lot of voices. You're going to get a lot of people talking to you, and you're going to get, you know, you're going to get your coaches telling you one thing, you're going to get your family telling you one thing, you're going to get agents and quarterback coaches and media and all of these different things. And there's no doubt we know Trevor Lawrence is ready. There's no doubt he's the number one pick. There's none of that. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, do what's best for yourself. You know, talk to your family. Talk to the people that are important to you, you know, that got you to that point. And then I would always say this, you know, I would always say this, like, college is the greatest time of your life, you know, when you're Trevor Lawrence and you're one of these college athletes. And obviously with this year, it's been tough, but, you know, professional football is much different. It is a business. And I tell everyone that. And it's just like, hey, if you're ready, go. And you can play and all those things, but just get ready. It's a different animal. You know, it's you're with grown men, you're adults. It's a business. You're being paid, and it's a cutthroat business. And you know, you're used to winning. You're probably going to go to a team that doesn't win. You know, there's a lot of different things that go into it. So. I thought it was pretty interesting. Got a little chuckle out of it, but look, he's shown tremendous leadership as a football player on and off the field. He's a smart kid. He's got a great head on his shoulders. There's no doubt whatever decision he makes, if he stays in football, great. You know, great for college football, good for him. If he leaves, great, good for him. You know, he can't go wrong with what decision he ends up making.
Matt Leinart yesterday, a guy that has kind of walked in those shoes before, and I just thought his perspective was kind of interesting since there's been so much discussed about that this week, given Trevor's comments earlier in the week.
Yeah, I think you're right, and Matt does bring a great perspective to the table. And it's one of many guys who, I mean, the list I say many, there's a handful of guys who can, you know, analyze those comments because they've been in that situation, right? And I think it'll be interesting to see. And unfortunately for Trevor, I don't think it's going to end with just what he said this week, Mark. You know that. I think there's going to be plenty of people that are going to want him to expand on it and expand on it. And I'm not sure there's a lot else you can say. But nonetheless, that's, as he said the other day, and rightly so, that's not his focus right now. His focus is on trying to get Clemson to a place that they were a couple of years ago out in Santa Clara. I think that's the hook for this Tiger football team, and it comes up in relationship to Saturday's ball game against Boston College as well.
Well, I thought his comments were smart because I said to you the other day, when you are in a position of leverage, you must take advantage of it. And there's no better. He didn't tell you that he was in. He didn't tell you he was out. He just said, hey, you know what? We'll just see how this thing works out and just let all the speculation go. And that includes the National Football League. And if you happen to be the owner of the number one pick, if you're the Jets or Phil and the Falcons, whoever it might be, there's no better opportunity if you are a student athlete to sit there and go, hey, I'm going to be good if I stay right here. I'm going to be good if I go across the street and play for your team. I mean, you want to have the ability to have options. And I thought his comments this week kind of rekindled opening up the door, because I think after the first week when you saw his comments, hey, this could be my last year moving on, it was just kind of assumed. I mean, we all just thought that, hey, what else can the guy possibly do? He's going to get his degree. He's got engaged. He's won a national championship, might win another one. He's won multiple ACC titles. I mean, the guy's done everything except win a Heisman, and he could very well win that one this year. So we just kind of assumed, hey, he's going to go on to the NFL. Well, he may very well do that. But that comment this week opened up many doors and have people questioning and answering, going, hey, well, what are we going to do here? So I think it was a kind of a neat move. I thought it was a smart move. All you want are options, especially when you are holding. He's not holding the card. He's holding the deck, and he's got all right. the leverage. So use it while you can. I thought it was a smart move.
Let me I'm going to go back in the time machine with you, because we can do this, because we were around when this happened. You remember when Tim Duncan elected to come back for his senior year at Wake Forest, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just so happened the Deacons were going to have a pretty good basketball team. Duncan was a tremendous talent. There was never a doubt in my mind that, you know, he was going to be the number one pick. He could have gone as a junior and been the number one pick, and he elected to come back and play his senior year, right? I mean, Tim Duncan was a guy who valued the college experience. He's talked about it, you know, since his professional career. When he does open up about it, one of the things he remarked on was the college experience. It may be that Trevor Lawrence, part and parcel, enjoys that college experience as well. Can't be a bad thing to be the quarterback at Clemson, right? You're going to get your degree. You've got a really good experience. You've got a great situation in terms of the football program. You know you're going to be on a major stage, just as Duncan knew Wake Forest would be in the ACC with the program Dave Odom had built at the time. There are intangible reasons that you may want to stay at Clemson and play one more year. But as you said, ultimately this is a business decision. And right now, he's not. You're the best analogy I've heard on this whole thing is what you just said. He's not holding the card. He's holding the deck
right
on everybody in the National Football League. And quite frankly, that's what it is. And
to me,
for him, if you've got that kind of position, it's hard to get. But when you get it, you hold on to it as long as you can.
That's exactly right. To me, it's more of like an Andrew Luck thing. That, hey, when the Panthers had the first pick, Andrew Luck said, yeah, you know what? I kind of like Stanford, man. Palo Alto is beautiful. I'm a dude. I'm going to be a big-time player. I enjoy college life. I'm going to get a great quality college education, which there's no doubt at Stanford. And, you know, I don't necessarily have to come out early. So who knows what Trevor Lawrence is going to do? And I just thought the comment this week slightly opened up the door of a possible, I'm going to stay. I don't know what he's going to do, but when you have the leverage, use it. And Trevor Lawrence is doing just that.
Yep. Yeah, no doubt about it. And be interesting to see, again, he's going to continue to be asked about it. How will he respond? Will it change? You know, we'll see in the weeks ahead. But the Tigers get Boston College at noon Saturday on ABC.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
ACC Network, Packer and Durham. Yesterday, the head football coach at Boston College, that'd be Jeff Hafley, joined us bright and early. And Wes, we got right to it with him because we said, hey, congratulations on the return of BC football. Man, they win for 264 on the – forget throwing it all over the yard. 264 on the ground. So there it is. Hafley's bringing it back at BC.
Yeah, we did, and it was really good to see that. Had a little bit more balance, and, you know, it's kind of what I've seen the last few weeks and was hoping, you know, against Virginia Tech that would come out a little bit, but it takes a little time, you know, without a spring and without a real training camp. The run game is tough, and I think Coach Signetti and our offensive staff have done a really good job, and I see it in practice getting better and better, and it was really nice to see Saturday night. It was great for Bailey, great for our O-line, and if we can be more balanced like that, I think we'll throw the ball even better.
What did you learn about your team after the performance in Blacksburg? And I know a lot of folks are like, oh, I want to forget about it. Maybe just the exact opposite. You remember nights like that where, hey, we put the ball on the ground, we turned it over five times, we thought this game was going to be competitive. Next thing you know, it gets away from you. But, man, your team really responded to that. What did you learn about your guys?
A lot. And I appreciate you asking that question, because truthfully, that to me was going to be our biggest test. You know, this team, we're still trying to get confident. We're still trying to build our identity. And, you know, we go on TV Saturday night prime time and we don't play well. I mean, we turn the ball over five times and, you know, we get beat up pretty good by a good team. So how are we going to respond? Are the guys going to come out and feel sorry for themselves and not practice well? And are we going to let that beat us twice? And the cool part to see was it was just the opposite. I mean, we had our best week of practice. No one came in with a pouty face. No one pointed fingers. We just got back to work. And the way they came out fast and we went up so quickly on Georgia Tech, it's a credit to the team and the staff, just how much they're bought in and how much they believe in one another. And truthfully, that was my best moment of the year so far, just to see the bounce back and the resiliency.
All right, so they're building blocks in this process, right? And you have some off the field, on the field, practice, games, things like that. So does somehow or another pulling one from the fire against Texas State, learning from Blacksburg, does that now carry you over to where you've got some methodology that goes this week when you get number one on the road?
Well, I think all those games are so important, right? You go down to a Texas State team that everybody told our players all week that they should win, and they fight back and score 14 points in about a minute and 30 seconds. Then you go get beat up, and then you bounce back. You play against a North Carolina team that no one thought you could win, and you take them down to a two-point play. What I think you're starting to see with our team is it's not about the opponent. It's about the process of getting better every single day and giving all that we have and improving and having fun doing it with each other. And then, you know, feeling so confident because you know you put the work in, and going to Saturday and not worrying about the opponent or the score early in the game. Just go play football and let it rip and have fun. And then, you know what, in the fourth quarter, we'll see where we're at. And we've been in a lot of tight ones, and hopefully we'll have a chance to go win it.
All right, let's talk about this week's opponent. You saw this crew when you were at Ohio State in the Fiesta Bowl game, which was truly a classic, and I don't want to put salt in the wound there, but you know these guys. You saw them last year. You studied them. You had plenty of time to study to get ready for that game. Now you're studying them again for this week, a road trip to Death Valley. When you do the eye test, Coach, in terms of what I saw at the Fiesta Bowl and versus what I'm going to see this week, what are the major differences that you see between 2019 Clemson and 2020 Clemson?
Yeah, a good question. And I saw plenty of them at the Fiesta Bowl. And unfortunately, when I closed my eyes at night for about 6 months, I had nightmares. So I saw them over and over again. So here they are again. What I see is an improved team. And I mean that. I think Trevor Lawrence right now, just watching him from last year and watching him this year, I think he's taken a huge leap. And I know that's hard to say. And that's not coach talk because we're playing him this week. I've been around, coached against a lot of good quarterbacks. I mean, probably everyone in the National Football League who's played the last 8 years. This kid is playing better in the pocket. He sees things better. He's keeping things alive, but he's sitting in there and going throughout all of his reads. He's got such a live body. You know, he's still running big and fast, but he's making such good throws. The kid's exceptional, and I don't know if there's a better college football player in the country right now. You know, the running back, obviously, ETN, I was introduced to him last year pretty quickly at the Fiesta Bowl. Again, I think he's one of the best players in college football. I think they're a better team offensively, and I say that because I'm a defensive guy, and I've been studying their offense more than their defense at this point of the week. And I think they're really well coached. This isn't a team that, oh, they're so talented, but you don't talk about their coaching staff. I mean, Coach Elliott and those guys, they do such a nice job of putting their playmakers in position. Just, I think it's a better, improved football team, and I know that's hard to say.
The ETN comparison, the Lawrence-ETN combination, we touched on this a couple weeks ago. It's scary when you look at their totality as a duo, isn't it? I mean, just how impactful they are. It really draws you into, like, some of the great duos in college football history. Is there a singular thing about them that concerns you the most on Saturday?
The thing that scares you the most is it's not like you're just playing a guy who can sit back and throw the ball in the pocket or a running back who can just run it out of the backfield. Mm. I mean, obviously, Trevor, he can run the ball, too. I mean, I learned that the hard way last year. And Etienne can catch the ball out of the backfield. I mean, some of these screen passes and these catch and runs that he has, I mean, it's just, it's hard to defend. I mean, you're talking about two generational players, in my opinion, on the same football team. And then how hard they work and how hard they play. I mean, you got to give them credit, too. They're both really tough guys. I mean, Trevor takes some shots. I mean, I saw it last year. And he bounces back, and the way ETN runs, too. I mean, you better bring your big shoulder pads to this game because this kid's not going down easy.
By the way, speaking of improved quarterbacks, Djurkovic, he arrives on the scene. Yeah. You get noticed late. Now, all of a sudden, we've got, you know, the BC air raid going on up there at Chestnut Hill. How have you seen your quarterback improve from week one to what you saw last week?
Well, I don't think we're air raid. Come on, we just ran the ball for 200.
No, wait a minute. No, wait. Hey,
we're ground and pound, you know.
Hey,
we're
no
all
disrespect.
Ground and pound now. We're not throwing anymore.
Yeah, okay, right. Let me tell you something. After years of Steve Adazio, I was waiting for, hey, we're going to let Bailey and all these boys touch it 73 times and throw two forward passes. Now, all of a sudden, I watch a BC game. It lasts 4 hours. Poor West Durham can't get out of town because you guys are throwing it 65 times a game. But
well,
your quarterback – but brag about your quarterback a second, because, man, he has really, really been good.
Yeah, he is. From the last time I talked to you, I think the improvement's been drastic. The way he commands the huddle. Mm. Sometimes I just sit back there and just his cadence and telling guys when to shift in motion and how he sees things. The ball's coming out so much quicker. He looks so much more comfortable in the pocket. And then, obviously, there's plays where, you know, a guy's about to sack him. He stiff arms him and throws the ball 40 yards down the field on a straight line. And just has the ability to make so many big plays. The scary part is last week he ran for 100 yards on design quarterback runs. So while he doesn't look fast, he is fast. And he's big and he's hard to tackle. Mm-hmm. I just think the sky's the limit for this kid. And it's still so early. I mean, he's barely played in our system. So, again, a credit to our offensive staff, Coach Signetti, and a credit to Phil. I mean, I'm just so happy for the kid from where he's come, not playing football for 2 years. You know, he's got confidence. He loves playing ball again. He loves his teammates. It's just awesome to see.
Jeff Hafley yesterday having some fun with us. And, boy, I tell you, he's just made a seamless transition, hasn't he? I mean, given the fact that no spring, no summer, and here's BC. Again, pleasant surprise so far this year in the ACC.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.